Welcome, Superpower Success Community. We're so glad that you're back here again today. We've got a really great topic that I know you're going to love. But before we start that discussion, just want to share a little information about our business and leadership coaching programs with Keystone. We're experts at the things that impede growth, whether that's in your career, as a leader, or just as you're growing a business. And we've got customized coaching packages that are tailored to your specific needs. And we offer them in 3-month, 6-month, and 12-session packages to get you the help you need when you need it. That's really our focus with these coaching packages, because we want to bring you real solutions to get you unstuck and moving towards that next level of success, whatever that is. So you can find out more information on our website, KeystoneGroupINTL.com. Connect with me on LinkedIn or Facebook, and I can get you more information as well. So now let's get to the topic of the day. So the topic of the day is all about learning. And this is a little bit of a passion for me in being in the corporate world, is that the best leaders that are in a corporate environment or in a business environment are typically the ones that are open to learning and to changing and to evolving throughout their career. And I've got this great quote that I just love. I keep it in front of me a lot, is that learning and innovation go hand in hand. The arrogance of success is to think that what you did yesterday will be sufficient for tomorrow. And that's by William Pollard. And I just think that is so such an important message for leaders of all types to hear, is that if we really think that we're going to change the world and things are going to get better with what we did before, or our business is going to grow with what we've always done, we're really wrong. That's not what's going to happen. And we'll still get good things and good results, but we're not going to get the same level of impact. And so I believe so strongly that leaders who are also learners is a topic that we all need to hear and we all need to be reminded of, because in life, you know, when it gets busy, we take time away from some of those things that are really growth focused for us as leaders. And so I am so privileged to have Kate DeLeo on with us today, who is an expert in the learning and development space. She's been in this space for years. I'll let her talk a little bit more about what she does and her experience. But today we're going to have a conversation about this. Is what does it mean to be a learner and a leader at the same time? And just give you some great tips and approaches to help you, right, get into that learning mode at a pace and a way that works best for you. So thanks, Kate, for being on. I appreciate you being here. I'm just going to hand it over to you and all your wonderfulness and let you do just kind of a quick overview of you and your background in this space. And then we'll get started into some of the questions that I have for you.
Awesome, Jamie. Well, thank you. And hi, everybody. It's such an honor to be a part of this podcast today. So thank you for having me. So as Jamie mentioned, you know, I have been in the learning and development space for quite some time. In fact, probably over 10 years now. And I kind of fell into learning and development as kind of a happy accident. You know, coming out of college, I, like most individuals that are in their early 20s, don't necessarily know what they want to be when they grow up. However, I did know a couple things. I did know, number one, I really loved people. And number two, I really loved learning. And so I ended up having an opportunity to work for an organization that really focused on customizing training and learning opportunities for large Fortune 500 and larger organizations here in the Midwest market. And through that experience, began to kind of dip my toes in the water a little bit into understanding what is learning and development really all about? Why is this such a critical component of organizational growth? And what does it mean for me to be in this space? How can I add value and really help individuals inside and outside an organization continue to develop in their expertise and really add value back to their organizations? So over the last 10 years, I've worked for organizations large and small, both as an employee and in the consulting space, really working with their talent management team and their HR team to pull together learning solutions that make sense for their company culture, that really are going to provide the return on investment that they need to see, whether that is increased leadership capability, ability to have efficiency in their employees to perform processes, whatever that may look like. And so I'm kind of a learning and development geek, Jamie. I have to be honest. You're probably not going to meet somebody that's more excited about learning and development pedagogy than myself. So try not to let me geek out today, okay?
Sounds like a plan. All right, Kate. So this is a question that we have to ask everybody who's on here because we are the Superpower Success Podcast. And so I always want to know what you think one of your greatest superpowers is.
That's a great question. and I laugh at that because what I think my superpower is, my husband would probably tell you is one of the biggest annoyances, but boy, oh boy, am I an organized person. I am the queen of time management and task management. I think that probably came from always having a foot in the door as a project manager in the learning and development space. So I get more done between the hours of 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. than most people do in an entire day. And I am a firm believer of sprinting in 15-minute bursts to get as much done as you can for high productivity and high results. So that is my superpower.
And that's a great one. That's one that I have, but not to the extent that you have it, because I know that you do have that. And that's one. And so, you know, you understand our podcast a little bit as we're talking about, it's okay if I don't have that superpower that you have to that extent. And it's okay that you don't have some of the superpowers I have, but the goal, right, in life, whether it's in your career or, you know, business or personal life, is to surround yourself with people who have those complementary superpowers where maybe you aren't as strong and you bring them in to help with that. And I think the same goes for learning and the same goes for those topics that if we are going to spend time learning and it kind of advancing ourselves and our thoughts and, you know, and how we look at the world, you know, it's important to do that within something that is aligned to your superpowers. You know, you don't have to learn and know everything. One thing that I see with leaders when I coach them and talk to them about learning, right, how much they're investing in themselves to get better is, you know, they have trouble staying constant with that throughout their careers. And so that's really the first question I have for you, Kate, is just tips or just guidance you would give someone to say, yeah, I know I should be constantly learning and reading more and doing that. And there's just not time, right? Or I run out of time every day and there's always going to be other things that get in the way. Is what are some of the keys to becoming a kind of a constant learner? And is it as hard as we think it is?
That's a fantastic question. I think one of the most critical components of being a lifelong learner is really recognizing that it starts with your mindset about learning. And there's so much I could say about the mindset of learning. We could talk about it for hours, but I think at a high level, one of the biggest pieces of encouragement that I typically do when I'm working with executive teams or even broad employee bases is to really call out the fact that learning starts with a choice in your mindset that you're going to do it day in and day out. In fact, I would actually challenge any individual that says, I don't have time to learn. I would challenge them and say, well, think about your job in the last 2 years. How many changes have you had that have happened to your job? Whether that is a new process, maybe a new technology. So think about all the new softwares we use, for example. Whatever it may be, maybe you have a new boss. Maybe you are in a brand new organization. Whatever the change may be, change equals a need to learn and grow. Chances are, if you're doing okay in your current role, you adapted to that change and you took that bull by the horns and you learned what you needed to learn to be able to adapt and move into the current approach of how it's best to get your job done. So, in fact, you already are a learner. However, moving beyond simply understanding what do I need to do to be good in my job right now, but to employ a mindset of continual growth that goes above and beyond my current title, that comes with a recognition and a choice each and every day that you are out there seeking to learn things that will grow you as a whole person versus simply being successful in your job. Let me give you an example. I have a leader that I worked with a few months ago, and this individual was very, very focused around learning better delegation skills. And so the focus for this individual was, well, how do I delegate the workload that is coming to me and appropriately manage that among my team so that it gets done? And how do I ensure that I also have a high level of a trust and accountability with that group to get the work done? Well, this is, I think, something that all leaders run into is,
The more responsibility, the more work on your plate. How do you delegate it appropriately? So I asked her a question. I said, well, let me ask you this. How do you delegate at home? And she paused and she said, well, what do you mean? And I, what does that have to do with anything? And I said, well, you have a 13-year-old, right? Well, yes, I have a 13-year-old. Well, how do you delegate to that 13-year-old to get the dishes done, for example, or vacuum the floors? And she said, well, it's very simple, Kate. You know, I simply lay out the expectation. I simply say, here is the task. Here's when I'd like this done. Do you have any questions? Do you need me to show you how to do it? And then I let them go and get that done. And then they understand the consequences if it's not completed. And I said, so that same practical skill that you already are employing in your personal life needs to simply be transferred to your professional life. It is not so much a question of you having to learn a brand new leadership capability as it is about taking a holistic view at yourself and understand, what am I currently employing that I need to maybe transfer from one part of my life or one realm of where I have influence and bring it into the workplace, or maybe vice versa? So Jamie, to kind of circle back, I think one of the biggest things that I see is you talk about superpowers, and not everybody has the same superpowers. It's really about a mindset of recognizing, what am I already doing? Not only what am I already good at and what am I not good at, but what am I already doing in other parts of my life? And how do I employ that in the workplace? Does that make sense?
I love this message. And this just really got me thinking, even just changing my mindset, just in what you said is about, you know, in our society, we look at learning as I need to go to a class. It's something online. I need to read a book. There's a manual. Like, that's the only time learning happens. And I hear what you're kind of saying it, but you're not saying is that learning happens every day, all day. And it's more about us recognizing what we've learned and then figuring out how to apply that and use what we're learning kind of in the day-to-day piece. And where I think a lot of people get hung up is they feel like learning has to be I need to go away to a 3-day conference. And not that those aren't valuable. Those are really focused learning times, right? Where you're like fire hosed with information that you're supposed to retain, which is why we retain about 25% of them. But what I love about you and the work that you do is you take learning, which is exactly what you're describing, is you take learning kind of to a different level. And even if you are doing learning training sessions for a company, is you're doing it in a way that's real life for them, right? You're coaching them to say, this doesn't have to be this thing over here that you went to and you hope you retained it. It's, let's incorporate it into what you do day to day in your business. And so is that really what you look at when you look at kind of a learning strategy for an individual or for a company? Is that kind of learning approach where it's real life and it's the kind of stuff you're doing versus these big, huge concepts that are hard to apply?
Oh, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head because I think for those of us that have children or nieces or nephews, or you've seen kids grow, I always give the analogy that when you have a 4 or 5-year-old, right, you realize that you're teaching them through the process of how to put their toys away and how to eat all their food and how to brush their teeth and get to bed on time. You're teaching them what we call life skills, right? But somehow something in our culture happens that as soon as we take that child and we put them into the education process, and I would say specifically for adults, as soon as we get into high school or maybe post-secondary education, and then especially when we get into the workforce, we begin to put a burden on ourselves and have this mindset that learning is supposed to be formal. There's a huge difference between formal education and the place that formal education plays and what learning is all about. Learning, again, goes back to a mindset. It is the day in, day out things that we choose to do to better ourselves. So often I work with leaders that get so overwhelmed. They're like, I don't even know how to begin to become better at my job, let alone how am I supposed to deploy a learning strategy for 500 employees? Oh my God. And it just feels like they're eating the elephant. And so my approach with them is to take a step back and say, okay, so let's get back to the basics here. You know, just as if I were working with a child, and I've got two of them, I want to understand what are the core behaviors or competencies I want that individual, that child to have for them to be successful at their age, right? So my three-year-old needs to be competent in certain skills, very different than my 13-year-old. But either way, there's certain competencies, skill sets, knowledge, abilities that I want them to have to be successful individuals for their age and for where they're at in life. Now, the same is actually true with an organization. You take any organization and their culture, and there's a set of skills, knowledge, abilities, behaviors that a company kind of intrinsically wants their people to have to be successful. So anytime an organization is trying to figure out how do we grow our people, how do we instill leadership skills, or how do I train up managers, or how do I teach people to be more efficient in their processes, I want to bring them back to what are the core competencies you want people to embody day in and day out. Because if we don't understand what good looks like, and I would say what great looks like for that person to really be high performing in your organization, try to train them in task management, performance management conversations, kind of like throwing spaghetti at the wall or darts at a dartboard. You're going to hope you're going to hit it. You're going to hope that 50% of that content sticks with them at the very best. You really don't know if that person's making the connection between I'm getting this training and why is that important for me here at this organization? Again, if you draw it back and you go work with leadership to say, hey, what if we built a strategy focusing around how to specifically get people to optimally be customer focused, results oriented, problem solvers, coaches and mentors? Well, then we start to paint a picture of how we can insert informal and formal learning to help that person grow in that competency so that they begin to take it on themselves.
And that's really just a great message, even back to the whole purpose of this podcast, right? Where it's an individual kind of superpower, how to step into, you know, what those superpowers are to achieve your definition of success. And that is the same in the learning space, but companies have the same thing, right? What are we really good at? What are those competencies that we want and how do we get there, right? How do we evolve those? Which is exactly what you're saying. And so what I'm curious, because there's, you talk about formal and informal, and I love that because there is both. Guidance for people that are listening, right? And whether that they're in a company and they have to make a decision for their team on what kind of learning, or it's personal to them on their leadership journey and to just become better and never stop being learners. What is your guidance on kind of the format that works best, you know, for different people? Or is it a combination, you know, live training, small classes? There, you can do a lot of stuff online now, right? But is it a combination of all of it? Or just what's your guidance for people on as they assess these different options, right? Because they all cost money. You know, how do you get the greatest return? And how do you make sure you retain the most knowledge when you're in those learning scenarios?
I usually start by advising people to think about the fact that as adults, we really do learn best by doing. There's been so much research out there that stipulates that adults really retain information by getting their hands dirty, by actually practically applying a skill or concept on the job or with intention. So I typically recommend that you have a blend of learning options available to you. And they have very different purpose. So the first one is formal learning. Now, only about 10% of what we really retain is from formal learning, but formal learning, such as a workshop or a class, actually plays a very critical role. So I wouldn't debunk it. So let's say you need to learn business writing. Well, unless maybe you take a class, you may not actually understand key tips, tricks, principles, ways to craft your email, right? There's really practical information that you're going to get from a formal class or workshop. But what we want to make sure of is that for you as the individual learner, especially for those of you that are in leadership positions, that you recognize that it doesn't stop there. So you can go to a class and it could be the best class you've ever taken, but if you don't take that information and bring it back and do something with it, chances are you're going to lose 90% of it within a few weeks. So that 10% of formal learning is absolutely very important for introduction of new concepts. That's your space to show up, listen, do maybe hands-on activities with other learners, actually learn best practices, walk away with, oh my gosh, if I apply these three things, these are my three nuggets I can apply on the job.
That's an important tenet to learning, is formal learning. Now, the next 20% is also very important, and that's where often I find leaders especially get some of the highest value, is through intentional coaching or mentoring relationships. So 20% for adults actually comes through coaching and mentoring. Now, that could be formal. It could be informal. I actually had the pleasure of working with a formal coach. Certainly, there are spaces, Jamie, where formal coaching is just, bar none, one of the best ways that you can really apply new mindsets and new capabilities in your everyday work. But that's where all of a sudden the rubber starts to meet the road a little bit. You may have learned a concept in a class, but now you get to talk through it. You get to ask for perspective. You have an outside opinion. You have an additional person that sees you as a whole individual and can provide maybe some outside insight on, well, have you thought about this? Or here's what I've done in the past. And again, we only know what we know. And so often, I think that's where mentors can play a huge role, or coaching relationships can play a huge role, is just having that additional person to really guide us, bounce ideas off, ensure that really we have a sounding board, that we're going down the right path. The third and final thing is then what I would call the 70%. So 10% formal, 20% coaching, mentoring, both are very critical. And 70% then is, well, what the heck are you going to do with it on the job, right? Whether you take a class, whether you've got a coaching relationship, and I'm sure, Jamie, you can attest to this, you do coaching with a lot of groups. If they don't go out and do something with it, chances are it's probably not going to be the most beneficial coaching relationship, right? At the end of the day, it's up to that individual to make the choice. I'm going to apply this right here, right now. I just got coached on, for example, how to have a performance management conversation. My mentor just showed me how to do that. Am I going to apply those tips and tricks and best practices now when I have to go work with that employee who maybe isn't getting the job done? Or am I going to revert back to my old way of doing it? So that's really the 70-20-10 model. It is a blended model because really there's no one size fits all.
I love that model. I think that's something that all of us can really take to heart and use, you know, in our own kind of learning journey. Not just because I coach, but I love that comment about the coaching piece in there somewhere. And whether that's a coach, a paid coach, or it's just a mentor or somebody in your organization, right? A great leader that you look up to. That's the accountability piece. And that's the making sure that you use what you've learned. And on our human beings, naturally, we'll go back to what's most comfortable. And oftentimes learning is meant to make you uncomfortable, meaning make you learn something you didn't know or have you do something different. And so if we don't have that accountability, if we don't have that person or that way to hold ourselves accountable, we will slip back into what we've always done and what we've always done, which is that quote right at the beginning, right? The arrogance of success is you can do what you did yesterday and it's going to work for tomorrow. And we get stuck in that. Another thing that I notice in corporate, and you probably realize this too in larger corporate, Kate, is there's also, you reach a certain point in your career where you've had a lot of experience, you've done a lot of training, right? You're at a high level in your organization and you believe that you're done, right? Like now you just need to impart that wisdom on other people. And while that's true for some people, I think there are a lot of higher level executives that forget to be continuous learners, even at their level, right? Because the market changes, industries change. And if you're not constantly learning and wanting to find new information, there's going to be people coming up through the ranks that have more of that than you, right? And they're going to be looking at the world differently and the business is going to change without you changing with it a lot of times. And so that arrogance of I'm done learning, right? I've gotten to a certain point and I don't need to learn anymore, I think is can be very detrimental to the effectiveness of you as a leader. Because if we're not showing our employees or showing the people in our family or in our business that we are constantly investing in ourselves so that we can get better, we're not creating that culture, right? And that competency of if we just continue to stand where we're at, people are going to start passing us by.
Yeah, I think it's a really important point, Jamie. And it's interesting. I had a conversation with a small group of leaders a few months ago, and it was actually on this topic. So they said, well, what do you do when you really achieved that role that you've been working for 10, 20, maybe 30 years, right? You're also 5 years out from retirement,
and you're thinking about succession planning. Maybe you're not thinking about succession planning, but you've reached this place where you have achieved a high level in your career, and chances are it begins to feel like second nature for you to do your job. And that's neither right nor wrong, right? You've worked very hard to be able to perform at the level that you're performing at without constantly feeling overwhelmed, overburdened, just mentally tired, right? So why would you need to learn? I mean, part of you as a human being, you're like, whew, I've hit the point. This is great. On the flip side, I asked him a question. I said, well, what happens if you don't learn and you don't adapt? And they kind of went quiet, and they said, well, what do you mean? I said, okay, so what pain could you be causing to the organization that you love so much if you don't learn and grow and change? And it was interesting. I had one leader pipe up, and they said, I think I know where you're going, Kate. I remember when I got hired into the organization, and I was working for this guy that had been doing his job for 30 years, and the same old story, right? He was great at what he did, but he always did it the old way, and here I am, a newbie coming into the company, and God, the technology had changed, and our processes were changing, and he was really good at what he did, Kate, but he did not want to see it from anybody else's perspective, and he had no desire to even hear what we had to say. He's like, I hated working for that guy, and it caused a ton of resentment, and 3 of my colleagues left the company because of it. So I said, okay, again, what happens, what pain are you causing for yourself, for the organization, if you decide to not employ a mindset of continuing learning and growing? Point, Jamie, is that there actually is real pain that can happen that you can be causing for yourself. Could be lack of respect. It could be a lack of team synergy. It could be whatever might be happening, lack of efficiency in your team, all the way to the organization's actually suffering due to your unwillingness to actually learn and grow. So for individuals who are like, but I like it. I've hit my stride. This is great. Sometimes it's going to require looking outside yourself a little bit and going, okay, you're part of a team culture and an organization here, and you're here for a reason, to add value, to help this company grow and succeed. And
I like that idea. One of the greatest leaders that I ever worked for in corporate came in when she first joined the organization, and she came in, you know, very strong, and her big message to everybody was, I need you all to get really comfortable being uncomfortable. Because we have a lot of change we have to drive. We have to change as individuals. We have to grow. And it's exactly what you're talking about, is many of us, and myself included, is we get into this like, oh, that was a lot of work climbing that mountain. And now we're at the top. And can I just stand here for a while? Right? I want to like just kind of just appreciate it and be in this really comfortable space before we have to make that trek down. And sometimes that's really great to celebrate. There's nothing wrong of achieving that level of success and just kind of relishing it for a period of time. But what happens is we get comfortable, and then we get a little more comfortable, and now we're in sweatpants with a blanket laying on the couch with the remote. And, you know, we've gotten completely comfortable in our careers, and we don't see that other people are passing us, or our competition from a business standpoint is passing us, because we got to that peak and we're like, all right, we're good, right? And we take that kind of pause. And I think that's important, again, for this message to say, take a breath, but take a breath and then decide what next summit you're going to climb, right? Which way are we going to go next? Because there's something else that this just opened up, and there's more learning that we need to do. And so I think that's a good message for business owners, right? And a big question that I get, and this one always just makes me chuckle, but it's actually kind of sad, and that this is the mindset they're in, is I always get the question about learning and, you know, coming in and doing training for companies, is what if I train our people and they leave? And when I get that question, I usually look at them and say, but what if you don't train them and they leave? And it's always seen as an expense instead of an investment for yourself or for your business or your employees. And I want to really shift that mindset, which is what we're talking about today, is this is an investment in your people. This is an investment in yourself, right? To grow and evolve and not just be comfortable all the time. And in, you know, organizations that don't have the competency of learning, I think are at a detriment to their competition. And you probably see this with the companies you work with, is they're at a detriment because they're not investing in people, and their good ones, the good people that want to grow and learn, are going to go somewhere else. Eventually, they are going to go somewhere else if you don't invest in them. And so I think that's just an important thing for all of us leaders to think about, is we need to invest in ourselves and we need to invest in our people. And, you know, just to kind of one last question I have for you, talking about the investment piece, Kate, is the return on investment of training is oftentimes hard to quantify. Now, I know you do a better job of this than most in actually helping them understand that quantification and the real numbers behind investing in training and what that looks like in terms of your high performance and employee retention. So just a little bit of advice you could give us, or, you know, how do people start to really look at training as an investment versus an expense?
Yeah, Jamie, really good points on investment versus expense. It's kind of flipping your mindset from your company operating like checkers, where every player on the board is the same, to almost, and that they're replaceable, to recognizing that, to be very honest, in today's market, people are not replaceable like they used to be. I mean, I'm going to be real. The competition is fierce. And we have a generation, two generations of individuals that are highly autonomous, that want to learn and grow, that expect that within an organization. And to your point, if you're not growing them, somebody else will. That's really the case. Now, it's moving from that checkers mindset to chess. It's recognizing as an organization that each individual in your company, sitting behind every cubicle, desk, workstation, wherever they may be, right, is an asset. And so when you empower your people and you grow your people, you're going to grow your organization. End of story. Now, if I were to talk about quantifying the cost of investing in learning and development versus the cost of replacing your people, we can run you hard numbers. I think all of us know, if we went to our HR individual, how much it actually costs to recruit, hire, onboard, and then try and retain that person for the first 90 days. If you don't know those numbers, that's probably an important place to start. But there are a lot of really great industry standards out there that talk about the thousands of dollars it really does cost most organizations to actually recruit and then hire individuals. Now, let's compare that. What about the cost of learning and development? Talking about a returning on investment, right? So you invest in courses for your team members to take, different workshops, whatever that may be. It could be a technical skill. It could be leadership development workshops, whatever it might be. There's kind of a fixed cost that you're going to have to invest in per employee to go through that type of a learning experience. And then there's probably going to be a soft cost of maybe some additional follow-up that maybe that manager of that team member is going to do to help hold that individual accountable. There's some of those soft costs. But where does the return come in? So often I give guidance to have organizations look at drawing real numbers of where the return comes in when it comes to time. Time is one of the best areas where companies can see an immediate ROI. So for example, let's say you're training a team of 20 people on performance management. It's a very fluffy thing, right? You're like, how do I quantify performance management conversation? Taking my manager through a workshop to become better at having that conversation. What does that actually mean in dollars and cents? Okay, well, I did this for an organization and I said, well, on average, Joe Schmo, how long does it take for you from the start of working with that employee who's not performing to the decision point where that person's either back up to par or you've let that individual go? How much time are you guys actually investing? And say, well, I don't know, 6 months, or I don't know, we've never really looked at that. And I said, well, what happens if we teach that person how to have a real performance management conversation and we can take that time and cut it in half? Well, what do you mean? I said, what if we could take the power of the performance management conversation, and instead of it kind of being all over the place and not really having any clear objectives or goals or outcomes, we can teach that manager and that employee that when they sit down for a 20-minute connection conversation every couple weeks, they know specifically the three things they're going to hit on to help that employee know where they're at and that manager know where they're at. So instead of that manager kind of going, I think the person's improving, I hope the person's improving, that manager actually knows whether the person's improving, and they are going to begin to see it right away in that performance management coaching conversation, which means the employee has to catch up a lot faster and not just brush it under the rug and hope, oh, maybe I'll improve in 6 months. But that employee goes, gosh, you know, my manager is going to be checking in with me. And so yeah, when I sit down with them in a couple of weeks, I can talk specifically about how I applied that principle for time management here on the job or whatever you're working on, right? Long and the short, the actual time it takes to coach an individual to be back up to par or to really have clarity on whether this person is in the right seat on the bus in your company or maybe is even a cultural fit can actually be cut in half sometimes. So instead of having an additional 3 months of, you know, inefficiency or lack of productivity with a person on the team, the hope is that by cutting that time down, that person again is performing efficiently, is back to where they need to be, or you've made a decision with your team as to moving forward in a different direction for that role.
I love that. And it what you're talking about really reminds me, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but a quote by Jack Welch where he talks about that, you know, the organization's ability to learn and take that learning into action rapidly, which is exactly what you're talking about, applying it and really getting the return, is a complete competitive advantage in their industry. And having that, you know, whether it's tangible or intangible return, but knowing that you're going to be able to do more with less or more with what you have if you're investing that time and that, you know, energy into helping those individuals even after the training. So I love this message. I think this is something that, again, we talked a lot about organizations, right, and leaders and organizations, but this applies to our personal lives. This applies to just us as individuals and investing in ourselves, which most coaching clients I work with are heavily underinvested in themselves. They don't spend enough on themselves and really enhancing and constantly learning. There was I think it was Brian Tracy, I heard him say something once, that the difference between really the middle class and the wealthiest people in our country is that the wealthiest people in our country invest in themselves. They are constantly investing in understanding new things and all of that. And so that was very, you know, just hearing that from someone who coaches some of the most successful people on the planet, hearing him say that was like, that's really the difference, is that you can't just be where you're at in order to kind of achieve that next level of success, is you've got to constantly be changing, which is what this whole podcast is about. And we want to make sure that that learning and your approach is aligned to your superpowers, because that's where you're going to get the maximum impact and maximum benefit from it, is not trying to go completely learn something that doesn't have anything to do with where you want to go, but focus on those things that are going to help you get to that next level, whatever they are. And Kate's a great resource for that. We will make sure that we have her contact information in the podcast notes so that you guys can reach out and connect with her if there's anything that she can do with you personally or with your business to help you think about learning differently, right? And really have that learning strategy. And I want to thank her for taking time out of her very busy schedule to be on today. And for those of you in the Superpower Success community, you know, again, I'm grateful for you being here. I'm grateful that you keep connecting into the topics that we're bringing, and I get just amazing feedback from you on these topics and how it's just helping to move the ball forward bit by bit and just a little bit at a time to help you drive to that next level. You know, we all need different things at different points in our growth and on our success journey. And that's what we're trying to do on this podcast. So if you're liking what you're hearing and you haven't subscribed yet, make sure and hit that subscribe button so you know when we're going to release new information and a new podcast. And if you're loving what you're hearing, if there's certain topics you want to hear more of, make sure and leave ratings and reviews, because that allows us to know what's really resonating with you and so that we can adjust and bring on amazing people like Kate to give you more of what you need to get to that next level of success. So until next time, make sure you're spending time focusing on those superpowers and make sure you know what that next level of success and what that next milestone is for you. Thanks so much for being here.